prime ministers and presidents may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions remains.
Quite right, too. Tessa, it seems like only yesterday we were doing Sound and Country Vision Volume 8, and already we're looking at Volume 9. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
It is just quite astounding. And already come out live from Nashville. Well, he could be live from Nashville. Other folk have been live from Vegas, or half dead, according to various other aspects. Let's move on to John Wolfe, a fine individual, Camo, who you have decided to bring along and expose in full glorious Technicolor audio sound to Shaylee, to Natasha, and of course to country music expert, only here for an hour of the show today, that would be Tessa Snart.
John Wolfe, we featured as a Nashville super pick a bunch of times. Almost any time he releases something, we feature him. He's got a new album that drops next month called Any Night in Texas. And John's one of my favorites. There's kind of a group of guys that come out of Texas that are, there's Aaron Watson, John Wolfe, Kyle Park, Cody Johnson. They're kind of a big four that are all independent artists, and they don't need a label because they do really well on their own. They do a lot of touring around Texas and kind of Oklahoma area. John is actually from Oklahoma, but he lives in Texas. He's called Texas home for quite a long time. And his background is he used to be an investment banker and turned to country music, and he's doing really well. Can't wait for this album to come out, and we're going to be setting up an interview with him sometime soon. This is the second single from the new album. This is called Baby This and Baby That. John Wolfe is on Siren FM.
Come home dragging weight of the world on my shoulders, girl, and all I know is I want to cash out, shut it down, throw in the towel, cause I'm feeling low and I'm moving slow. But when she's all baby this and baby that, I'm like a runaway train running out of track. There ain't no holding me back when she's all baby this and baby that. When she's all come over here and give me a kiss, that look in her eyes, hands on her hips, I don't stand a chance when she's all baby this and baby that. It still sounds good, good morning, good night, and anything else those pretty lips say. She sounds like an angel cooking in the kitchen. I love to listen to the songs she sings, and it's a whole other thing. When she's all baby this and baby that, I'm like a runaway train running out of track. There ain't no holding me back when she's all baby this and baby that. When she's all come over here and give me a kiss, that look in her eyes, hands on her hips, I don't stand a chance when she's all baby this and baby that. Yeah, my favorite thing in the world to see are those pretty brown eyes looking back at me. Those pretty red lips I want to kiss so bad, saying baby this and baby that. Train running out of track. There ain't no holding me back when she's all baby this and baby that. When she's all come over here and give me a kiss, that look in her eyes, hands on her hips, I don't stand a chance when she's all baby this and baby that. She's baby this and baby that. Every time she's baby this and baby that. Yeah, she's baby this and baby that.
Any Night in Texas is the album that's released on June the 16th. It's John Wolfe. What a lovely doggy. That's not to say that John Wolfe is a doggy, by the way. It's just one of those minor points. Let's find out what the team think. Shall we, Camo?
Sure.
Okay. Shaylee McKenzie, who, when we spoke earlier today, I said, oh, yeah, coming on the show, because I didn't actually email Shaylee any details at all. But I
not
had
at all.
I did. If you check on the running order, you were there. You see, you are on the list.
Good.
So, it's three. If you were on the list, you'd be forbidden to enter the studio.
It was a surprise show for me today.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, what did you make of John Wolfe?
I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the simple lyrics and the sort of bop of the baby this and baby that, yeah. And also, he's really cute.
There you have it.
Yeah. Exactly. Is the dog?
Dog or him?
Yeah, either one.
Love me, love my dog, as John Wolfe might once sing in some way, shape or form. Natasha Armstrong, I know you're particularly interested in the merchant side of things as far as John's background is concerned, but what did you make of his singing?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. It was really listenable. And I think this is going to do well when the album comes out next month. So good luck to him.
And if we look at the biography, the question, who is John Wolfe? The best introduction to John Wolfe is the basic yet not so simple. Simple fact that he's a country singer and songwriter. Country music as it was, is, and always will be, with boots firmly standing on the bedrock of tradition and the eye focused on taking it into the future.
Nice.
Exactly. Tessa, Sound and Country Vision co-host, snart. What did you make of the delights of John Wolfe? And would you have him on Sound and Country Vision?
Oh, most definitely, yes. I really enjoyed that. I'd kind of put him in, like, the Dierks Bentley category, I think, with the beat.
Do you agree, Camo? Dierks Bentley?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Oh, there we are, you see. That's the kind of the uncertainty and yet certainty that kind of betokens a Zen Buddhist line of approaches in so many delightful ways. You'll be able to hear more from Camo's Zen Buddhist approach in Nashville, Tennessee, yeah. In a matter of 7 or 8 days from now. Shaylee, would you like to put those last two questions to Camo, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic device? Oh, my goodness. Telephonic link with us today.
We can tell we're cooking with gas here, Camo. We're cooking with gas here. Splendid.
Yeah. Will you be joining us again soon?
I'll be back next week.
Yeah. See you next week.
Said with a little less enthusiasm than we normally get from Camo, yeah. I thought. Are we okay there in Nashville? I mean, is all well, Camo?
Yeah.
He says
yes.
Yes,
good.
That's all right. 50 years ago, this coming August.
Woke up one morning half asleep with all my blankets in a heap and yellow roses scattered all around. The time was still approaching for I couldn't stand it anymore. So Mary goes upon my eider down. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain making the garden grow. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Sound. I pushed my head into the ground in time to catch the sight that I was seeking. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain making the garden grow. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain. Feel the power of the rain keeping me cool. If this perfect pleasure has the key, then this is how it has to be. If my pillow is getting wet, I don't. Conversation with the trees, really to leave reality behind me. With my commitments in a mess, my sleep has gone away deep rest. In a world of fantasy, you'll find me. I'm just sitting watching flowers in the rain.
Pirate radio stations when you can have BBC Radio 1 launching with Tony Blackburn, as I say, a little under 50 years since the move, and Flowers in the Rain paved the way, of course, for the Harrogate Spring Flower Show. Did you see what we did there, Nick Smith, ace guru and show director of the Harrogate Spring Flower Show?
I like it. I like Spling.
Exactly. We've got to update it for the 21st century, I feel, and I think the Hallowgate Spling Flower Show is a whole way we could actually go into that, and without any kind of notions of doing Mickey Rooney impersonations of Japanese folk in any way, shape or form. Let's progress. It's, goodness me, it's Wednesday, April 26th, and tragically, Nick, we weren't able to attend the Harrogate Spring Flower Show.
We missed you.
Nick, that's just so wonderful. I mean, the Midweek Drive-Outs were all over the country doing all manner of bits and pieces. I was booked with all sorts. But it was a sensational success, I believe.
It really was, yeah. We had a great time. It was a fantastic show, and we were very, very lucky with the weather. We had four great days. And yeah, we had just over 58,000 people across the 4 days, which is just up 2% on last year, which is fantastic.
Va-va-vloom, as the whole scenario works. That was superb. And indeed, lots of Kiwis there, from New Zealand with love, I see. With floral gowns from New Zealand, it's almost as though, you've got just magical things there. An Antipodean approach as well, Nick.
There was. We were very lucky to have Jenny Gillies, who's a costumier from New Zealand, come across and create some 15 fantastic, fantastic costumes, all based around individual flowers. And yeah, they were part of a central exhibit called Haute Couture, which went down exceptionally well across the 4 days.
Do you like Haute Couture? Nice. See what you did there.
Do you like the link? Do you like that?
Superb. You can always tell you're working with professionals, Nick. And every time we work our way through this, it's definitely there. Natasha, any questions and thoughts from yourself?
Yes. Did you have a particular favourite display that was on?
Well, I think I did this year. I mean, in addition to all the normal stuff that we have, Natasha, we had something called the Green Room, which was an installation that had been made by florists of a sitting room, everything made of plant material. So there was a table, there was a three-piece suite, there was a fireplace. Everything was made out of leaves and flowers and foliage. It was fantastic.
That sounds incredible.
It was, and I think it was the most sort of Instagrammed, photographed thing that we had at the show, because it was really, really well received.
Oh, wow.
This is something, of course, that under your wonderful guidance, Nick, the show continues to develop and grow, and you maintain the consistency of quality as befits the Chelsea of the North. I think it's better than the Chelsea Garden Show, as I've frequently said. But you just add little quirks each year which kind of help it evolve and really sort of just give it a little bit more pizzazz, really.
I think it's really just trying to think of things that still very much within our horticultural remit, you know, promoting horticulture throughout the North, but really just things that, as you say, give that little twist, give that little extra bit of, well, va-va bloom, as you rightly said, which was another theme that we had in the show. But yes, it's just those things that make people smile, and that's really what it's about when they come to the flower show, to learn, to enjoy and to smile.
A clear flair for fashion. Although it has to be said that I'd be very concerned if anybody actually tried to physically drive the car away, because somehow, I don't think that's going to necessarily get a help. I mean, I could make some comment about how we are lady drivers and engineers, what can I say? But then, again, Shaylee would be most annoyed.
Indeed.
What's going on? Shaylee, thoughts from yourself?
I actually worked in a garden centre from the age of 13 to 19, so flowers and plants and everything has always been a kind of interest of mine. Are you a landscaper yourself, or do you just admire the prettiness?
Well, I started off, I'm actually a landscape architect by career, so that's how I started off and worked in Ireland for a long time. I'm in practice in Ireland and then came back across here and started doing what I do. So yes, I've got an absolute love for the landscape and a love for plants as well. And you know what, it's one of those things that you just learn more every day, and I'm very lucky to be in a role that I do. You know, I'm able to learn more and more, and that's always a good thing.
Cool.
Of course, it has to be said, Nick, that both Tessa and Natasha will at some stage during the course of 2017 actually have you and Camilla Harrison on their walls, because you're both featured in the 2017 Midweek Drive-Out calendar.
Oh, that's
yes.
Cool.
Yeah. A sellout success.
To such an extent, I haven't even managed to get your own copy to you, Nick. So, you know, I all planned out, say, I'll hand it over formally at the Spring Flower Show, and then whoosh, suddenly we move into all sorts of other areas. And you don't know where we are, really. It's just strange. But at least you can share that with Camilla, ace PR officer for the Flower Show, that, yes, Camilla, you're both calendar folk.
What we've always wanted. That's what we've always wanted.
Exactly. Critical. Tessa.
Well, I could have really done with coming to the Spring Flower Show, and I wish I could have, because I'm actually currently producing a wedding magazine for one of my assignments, and I actually went to the garden centre the other day to get some inspiration for bouquets and centrepieces and to get some pictures for it, so it would have been really great. And
I would love time to machine's to... tragically
I know,
not available.
No.
However, the Autumn Flower Show is online, and that is one of those areas which, I mean, I know, it just seems as though we've turned around and suddenly spring's just gone and it's into autumn. Well, what do you expect from British weather?
Well,
have you looked out the window recently? Exactly.
It's a shame for Tessa, though, because spring, you know, we have the largest collection of floral art display in Britain, which we're really proud of. And one of those things was actually buttonholes, so all the members of the public could come and create a centrepiece buttonhole for... in one of our sort of make-do areas, which was really nice and really well received.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things that actually it's really simple, but there's a knack, isn't there? You know, there's a knack to just knowing how it's right, and just using very basic materials to create something really beautiful. So that was good. But Alex is absolutely right. Autumn will have some spectacular stuff as well, so you must come along.
Yes.
And let's face it, Tessa, you've still got your third year to look forward to.
I've already inked in red and underscore
the 2018 Spring Flower Show, an absolute essential attendance from that perspective. Web address, of course, remains flowershow.org.uk. You can find out all manner of wonderful details there. Still looking back to obviously some of the Spring Show events, although, as we said, it came to an end on St. George's Day. Was there any patriotic theme to wrap up? Did you sort of have knights being riding through the streets of Harrogate with dragons emerging in the thing, Nick, or do you think, no, that's so cliched, we'll leave that to the politicians?
Do you know what? Sadly, we didn't. We did, at the first day of the show, we did have National Wear a Flower Day.
Nice.
Which was nice. We gave out 3,000 flowers to the first 3,000 visitors through the door on Thursday.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which was really lovely. And, you know, again, it's just putting a smile on people's face, and that's what that did, you know? Yeah.
It's all part and parcel of the rich tapestry, which also includes Kitchen Garden Live, the Feast Food Theatre, and so on. I know you're already started, in fact, presumably planning for the Autumn Flower Show, those huge vegetables, quite frankly, unbelievably sized vegetables. And, yeah, we're not talking about students from the University of... planning has already started, Nick, so presumably you've already got some little delights there. Can you tease ahead at all? Can you actually tease ahead to say this might we well be looking at for the Autumn Flower Show?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that we're looking to bring into autumn is a novice class for the giant vegetables. So for those people who aren't, you know, the professionals that go in every year, this is for new people who've never exhibited fruit and vegetables before, you and I, who are able to bring along their giant fruit and veg and enter a novice category. Good fun. Great fun.
When you say you and I, Nick, obviously it's important because as I've frequently said, when it comes to matters horticultural, keeping my spider plant alive is probably the maximum that I can ever aspire to. You know, so, it sits on well. I mean, people have critiqued me over the years for that, but I thought, no, at least it's still functioning. You know, 16 years later, which is very good.
Well, to be fair, maybe if novice classes isn't your thing, then we've also got plant hunters for autumn. That's going to be one of our big themes, which is all about historical plant hunters and how they found the plants that we have every year.
And thank heavens those little legs on the plants, evolution has actually weeded them out. Natasha, would you like to put those last two questions to show director extraordinaire of the Harrogate, it's the North of England Horticulture Society, and of course the Spring and Autumn Harrogate Flower Shows, Nick Smith.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening, Nick?
Oh, I certainly have.
That's wonderful. And can we hope to hear from you again on the show sometime soon?
Always, and you're always welcome to join us.
In fact, I think what we should do is actually do a monthly build-up to Nick. You know, to acknowledge our absentia from that point of view, we'll sort of start the campaign now, start the whole build-up. Obviously, Natasha, you'll be out of the country when it comes around to the Autumn Flower Show, probably somewhere in Japan.
It's so sad.
They have nice gardens there as well. So that's worth
cherry blossom season next spring.
Yeah exactly.
Open up. Cast a doubt, like a shadow walking through the corners of the room. I always thought I'd have a full tank to go.
Tonight,
I always thought I'd find my own way.
What's going on in your head now? Maybe something I said, I know that you've been living in the past. What's going on in your head now? Maybe something I said.
It's driving me crazy. You can try to lie, but.
you close your eyes, tell me what you see. Locked up in your room, is there any room for me? In the spoils of your mercy, in the reverence of your bed, in the cradle of the morning, what was it that you said? What's going on in your head?
Time now for some more Weingarten wonderment on the Midweek Drive.
Absolutely. Following Brandon Flowers, who else could we go to? Then our main producer, writer extraordinaire. Yes, he's coming through the mist. It's not Brigadoon. It's Arthur Weingarten. Hey!
That's wonderful.
Are you well, Arthur, in the joys of sound?
I am. Marvelous. I am. I will give you an update. I am seated on our back patio, which overlooks this box canyon, this gorgeous canyon, wild-looking thing. It is sunny and 76 Fahrenheit, and I just hung up with Annette, who's in London, and she said it's 1 Celsius there.
Yes, but Arthur, you've got to realise we're approaching the British summer, so I don't know what Annette expects, really.
This is warm England.
Watch out for icebergs.
No, Donald Trump's in the White House. I think all's well with that. I still maintain that the general suggestion of putting together a children's party in which the three entertainers would actually be, a bit like the Three Amigos, Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump.
What a party. Yeah.
It's got to be worthwhile.
You have absolutely right, and book it for 1 week only, because not a single one will leave live from the studio.
Yes. Moving on, Tessa, any questions or thoughts for Arthur? With, again, another batch of Premier Ponderings. That's Premier Ponderings from, of course, San Diego.
Okay, what's new in San Diego? What have you been up to recently?
Well, I'll tell you what is new in my life is that the American Writers Guild is about to go on strike this Monday. And that may not mean very much to you over there eventually.
Seasons will be cancelled. You get halfway through. Yes, the last time the writer's strike took place, Hollywood shut down.
Oh, my goodness.
10 years ago, and it cost the state of California $2.5 billion.
Wow.
That's number one from all the ancillary things. But it cost the writers $300 million in terms of lost revenue. But that isn't why I'm saying this. I'm not saying it because of self-interest that way. When I joined the Writers Guild, I was 19 years old. That was three centuries ago. We had a storied history even then. This was in 1958 when I joined, in that the Guild had gone through the Depression. It started in the Depression when writers were thought of as extras and very low paid and all of that. And, of course, if you didn't turn a script in, Clark Gable would stare at the lens and say, what do you want me to do now? But that didn't count. That, you know, the writers were nothing. What I'm talking about now affects England and all over the place. The argument here now today, as it has always been but worse, is that we don't need union people. There are lots of people who could do what you do and don't have to have all the baggage that comes with it, health, welfare, and all of that business. And what I'm saying is that across the board, as I've grown older, I have seen less and less and less accountability to a background in which true criticism is built on experience. And when I lived all those years in England, I contrasted it with my American background, and the difference was night and day. I say this not to ingratiate in all of that, but what you have there still in this day of erosion, reality television and all that we know, and the Murdochs and the lowest denominator, is still so far and above what is the general background noise here. And that is, when someone is old and has had a background in which superior things have been done, they are still revered in England. Here, it's get away from me, Claude. I don't need you around here. And I'm thinking of just recently, I saw Shirley MacLaine interviewed on a show. And they said, what happened with Downton Abbey? And she said, well, you know, it wasn't a good fit for me. It really wasn't. And there were a lot of things in my personal life and all of that. But they said, but what did you take away with it? She said, I took away that all of the older actors there could not wait to ask me personal questions about how I started, where I came from, what I did to get up. The younger ones wanted to know if I knew so-and-so, so-and-so, like the Kardashians. There was no interest in me as an individual person with a background or with a history of having striven to make it where I did. And yet the older ones did. And while I was there, I found that not to be the way she did, because I left quite a while ago. It is still, if you do something in your life, it is not to be thrown away. And here I see more and more the metaphor of the strike is that we don't need you. We don't need someone who has put in the years so that you could meet the minimum requirements to join a writer's guild, that you are professional enough to do that. And so that's the end of my rant. I just wanted to say an accolade to you over there, because I believe that's still alive there and is dying.
Well, I don't know. Creeping ageism does actually come through in all sorts of ways, but we do like the little birds that are tweeting in the background.
Yeah.
That's very good.
It must have been the most calming rant ever.
We did not frighten the birds in San Diego. So
unless it was a mockingbird.
And of course, Arthur, last time, as you said, 10 years ago when we had the writer's strike, the result was lots more reality TV shows, because clearly if you don't have writers actually constructing programmes and so on, let's just actually sort of have it a reality. So the Kardashians have a lot to thank the writer's strike for, in many ways, really. However, Natasha, thoughts on what Arthur was ruminating on?
Yes. Are you hopeful you can come to some sort of agreement then through this strike? Do you think that there's going to be a positive outcome, Arthur?
No, I think there's going to be a strike. Yeah, no, I do. I honestly do. I remember when I was under contract to Granada after doing the May Grays there and things like that, there was a change of scenery in the hierarchy. And the old, they were gone. They were leaving, either retired or dead. And in came, and I hope I'm not going to blind should he still be sucking air in and out, but the guy who took over Granada was the beverage manager for the Hilton Hotels.
Oh. Interesting.
Well, yeah, that's who took over.
It's another business,
took over,
isn't it?
Granada. Yeah. Yeah.
The days of Lord Lou Grade and simply saying, just give me the idea for the show and let's make it, long gone. It is an interesting perspective, Arthur, because in terms of change, regrettably, I think we do see that this side of the Atlantic. We see it in all sorts of ways. They're effectively, you're sort of put out to pasture and people think, well, you know, what's going on here? Shaylee, your thoughts?
I guess I'm just really interested in what you said about writers being extras, because I definitely don't feel like that here. The writer makes or breaks whatever they're writing, obviously.
Absolutely.
How come that is the kind of view over there?
Because there is an atmosphere of the young people who, all young people take over from the previous generation, but there was a veneration, as I said, for expertise, for having paid your dues, for having put in years of learning a craft. Today, you have Mr. Zuckerberg, who is a brilliant fellow in telling you how you can talk to your neighbor. This is not critical judgment. This is an atmosphere of Silicon Valley, where if I can't get you, I can get somebody else. It's a garage mentality. Oh, look what's his name from Microsoft did, and look at this.
Bill Gates.
The bar is so low as to critical judgment, but so high as to what is revered, that there is no comparison.
Are you saying, Arthur, that we probably won't be doing FaceTime with you in the near future? Outrageous. Never mind.
No, but I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. Over there, it is script-driven. If you come in with an idea, that idea is not denigrated that, oh, yeah, you can't do it, but we'll get someone else. No, if you come in with the idea, you do it. Should you prove still to need some seasoning, they'll put you with somebody who can help you. But your name goes up on that. It's your idea. Not here. Not here. And I shouldn't say blanket, not here. But the vast majority is that.
Tessa, as a young soul who's producing all sorts of marvellous things, any thoughts for yourself?
No, I completely agree with what you was just saying. I think if somebody's come up with the idea or they've written it, then, yeah, they should be a part of that. It shouldn't be up to somebody else to recreate that or do that. So,
flip side, of course, you've always
got.
No, I fully agree.
Well, it seems, Arthur, you've got a unanimous success here.
I don't like unanimous. I don't like unanimous means that there's, well, goodbye, see you around.
I think that the next stage has to be the cessation of the state of California in Calexit, which we need to ask you about, clearly.
I don't know if you know this or not, but in Russia, there's a fellow who has literally taken a copyright out and registered all the necessary paperwork for the state of California in Moscow.
Good.
And he has in Red Square, he has carved out, they had it on television last week, a cardboard perimeter in which it's the state of California in Red Square. And you would expect that over there, you know, he'd be clubbed on the head and dragged off. But apparently Putin laughed.
Yes, as I said, he's a great children's entertainer. That's what I was putting it forward. I'm sure they could invite Arnold Schwarzenegger over, they could have Clint Eastwood over, they could stand on their stick of cardboard, they could do all sorts of things there. It would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And meanwhile, the world will continue to spin on its axis in its own unique, wonderful way. We're speaking to Leslie Layton, who's the director for the Los Robles Master Chorale, in a matter of moments. And I would heartily...
Oh, that's good.
I would heartily recommend you catch some of the work of the Los Robles Master Chorale. Leslie Layton, her appointed to the post in 2008, according to the Los Angeles Times, has produced a ravishing output there, which has left audiences mesmerised and merits, according to the Asia Journal, enduring applause. So that's Leslie Layton, the artistic director of Los Robles Master Chorale, in which we'll be looking ahead to the 2017 season, and indeed the climax of the season, which, Arthur, you may, who knows, be able to actually attend, because it takes place around about May time. We'll keep you appraised of that, and you can be one of our correspondents.
Yes. Well, you've struck gold, having heard, you see.
Well, that's exactly it. So, as we do every time we connect with your good self, Arthur, to be fair. As is often used, the case back in the day on the Green Hornet, where the line was, there's gold in them thou vine gardens. That is the official line.
A friend of mine came back from Denmark, and they turned on the CNN thinking they had the right channel for international CNN to get some terrible news early in the morning. It up came a bonanza of mine in Danish.
And we knew where we were when we had Hoss, Little Joe, Adam, and Ben riding
Hoss,
the Ponderosa.
Yes.
I want to ask you, Arthur, did you ever write any lyrics for Hop Sing, the Chinese cook in Bonanza?
No, I knew I missed something.
Yeah, often underused, the character of Hop Sing. We really should sort of resuscitate him. And again, we haven't really focused on the Bonanza scenario. Was Adam still in the group there, or had they gone down from a quartet to a trio?
Oh, yes, no. Pernell was there, and he's a dear, dear friend of mine. Pernell, I think one of the unsung, truly fine actors, and a person who could have gone on for more, but felt trapped. He did Trapper John after
exactly.
that.
Exactly, quite literally, etc. But he's still
yes,
looking down.
Yeah, well, I always said to him, you're living a metaphor, because, he truly was a fine, fine actor, and unfortunately had an unhappy life. So,
who knows, in a kind of Buddhist sense, Purnell Roberts might be one of those reincarnated birds just tweeting. In the
absolutely, so, I agree with you.
It's okay now, Arthur. I'm happy. That's the important thing. It's so good. I wonder if we got into Bonanza here, because it would be a wonderful sort of way to ride out into the Ponzarosa. In fact, I'm mentioning this. Have you ever encountered Bonanza as a series, Natasha?
No, I haven't. What's it about?
Shall we actually have 2 minutes 13 seconds of Johnny Cash singing the theme to Bonanza?
Let's do it.
I'll tell you what. It was based on a real ranch, the King Ranch, and it was called the Ponderosa. And the ranch went on and still does today, for miles and miles and miles in Texas. So this was an empire within a defined area of a family back in the 1870s.
Stay with us, Arthur, and stay with us, birdies, too.
The claim we hold is as good as gold, Bonanza. Hand in hand we built this land, the Ponderosa Ranch. Our birthright is this Cartwright Bonanza. We here belong and standing strong. Wrong ain't got a chance. Day by day, worker play, ready side by side. Hello, friend, come on in, the gate is open wide. Bound to be a fighting free Bonanza. Singing pines are boundary lines for the Ponderosa Ranch. Bonanza, the stars of night, the morning light, the water in the branch. We ride along, four men strong together. Every plain and ridge is our heritage, Ponderosa Ranch. Day by day, work or play, ready side by side. Hello, friend, come on in, gate is open wide. Bound to be a fighting free Bonanza. Singing pines and boundary lines for the Ponderosa Ranch.
Thanks to the wondrous nature of YouTube, we can watch whole episodes of Bonanza, including the season 10 episode Different Pines, Same Wind.
That's wonderful. Boy, that brought me back.
There we are. Back in the day when we used to offer American studies at the program at the University of Lincoln, I used to use an episode of Bonanza to illustrate a certain aspect of the American mythological West that was put forward with the 1960s.
Yeah.
All the lead characters, indeed, have moved on to become birdies since, of course, in past. Lawn Green, Dan Blocker, he was Hoss Cartwright, he was the first to go. Michael Brandon, of course, who went on from Bonanza to Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, I used to watch that.
And, of course,
If you would like a little bit of esoterica about Michael Landon, his mother invented whiteout.
Do you know, I thought that was actually Michael Nesmith's mother who invited Tippex, a brand new
Whiteout. Michael Landon.
It was Michael Landon. That's cool.
We didn't believe him. We didn't. One day something about it, we said, oh, get out of here, Michael. That's ridiculous. God knows who did it. Well, probably was in Greece they had it. He brought in her papers from the invention thing, from the patent.
He is. There's Michael Landon, Little Joe. You always knew he was Little Joe because he used to have a black and white Palomino horse that was always in every episode.
Yes.
And of course, he went on from there to do, as we said, Little House on the Prairie, and of course, Highway to Heaven. Yes, Highway to Heaven, indeed. Wonderful series.
Yeah.
And now he's headed off into the wild blue yonder, but there we are.
Yes.
Extraordinary. And here was, I think it was Mike Nesmith from the Monkees whose mother invented White House.
I don't know how that one started, but he actually had papers he showed us.
I think it probably came across through the internet somehow, some sort of rumour that obviously we don't pay any attention to, but it could have happened.
Yeah.
Anyway. What a wonderful way of actually taking us around to Kirsty Churchill. We'll be talking about her latest musical tunes in a few moments. We haven't been able to reach Adrian Wrigglesford, but Tessa, would you like to put those last two questions to Arthur Weingarten, please?
Yes. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us?
I certainly have.
That's great. And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
I'm queuing up this moment.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And obviously prep for the May link is to have the Midwick Drive-Outs catch at least one episode of Bonanza to share the thoughts of the whole thing. Regularly featured, I believe, on CBS Action.
And we should feature Johnny Cash on Sound of Country Vision, the Bonanza.
Well, there we are. It will be appearing
as a traditional number.
Precisely. So much joy.